Good morning, Christ Center. It's Tuesday, September 30th, and we are in week 4 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 29. But before we begin, let's take a moment and quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 29. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff, no bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place does not welcome you or listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. King Herod heard about it because Jesus' name had become well known. And some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He's Elijah." And still others said, "He's a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago." When Herod heard of it, he said, "John, the one I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And so Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard him, he would be very perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. An opportune time came on his birthday, when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias' own daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "John the Baptist's head," she said. At once she hurried to the king and said, "I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter immediately." Although the king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the guests, he didn't want to refuse her. The king immediately sent for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and removed his corpse and placed it in a tomb.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. Of all the strange rabbit trails in the book of Mark, this is something. Such a weird little story that is put right after Jesus sends out his 12. And you're wondering, like, what's going on here? You've got, like, this royal soap opera thing happening. The ballad of Herod and Herodias. Joshua, this is a strange diversion here. He's going into, this relationship, Herod being this ruler of the Jews, but he actually himself wasn't ethnically Jewish at all. And because he was ruling over this region, he had sort of a political responsibility to play the part, to play the role, and to be at least in name religiously Jewish. So John the Baptist had been criticizing him, and it seems like maybe for political purposes, he might have been intimidated by that, you think?
I mean, I think that he's responding to the fact it says here that he did fear John, but he also, knowing he was a righteous and a holy man, he was very perplexed, but he also liked to listen to him. So he sees the extreme influence that John has as a public figure that's been calling Israel to repent.
Right.
And I think from what we're hearing that in the scriptures, it's saying that he feared John, considering him righteous and holy. So I think there was, as my wife often says, people are complex. And my read on this is that Herod did convert to Judaism, obviously was not devout because he did take his brother's wife and marry her, and it was adultery according to the Jewish law. So he's not being devout. But yet at the same time, he's conflicted. So I think it's probably both political. Yeah, I think it's both political.
Right.
But then I think he's going, gosh, you know, this is, I think there's something that's resonating there.
Yep.
But when the rubber meets the road, he saves face and cuts his head off.
Yeah. I mean, he really clearly is taken with John. Like he's drawn to him and his words. And I was talking about this with Pastor Mark a little bit ago, and he had an interesting theory. I'm like, why do you think Herod was a fan of John? And he suggested, you know, maybe John was the only one who ever challenged him. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a position of authority like this, people aren't used to challenging you.
Yeah. I think that's very plausible.
Yeah.
I think that this story, though, is framing something that Mark is getting at. And what he's getting at is, who are people saying Jesus is?
Right.
Jesus'
yes.
name is going everywhere. And we see them saying, well, we think it's John the Baptist. And then Mark tells us, like, well, why would they think he was raised from the dead? Oh, well, let me tell you what
yes.
happened to John the Baptist. He's dead because of, and we hear the story.
Yeah, we get like a flashback.
Yeah.
Because in this first part, Jesus is sending his disciples out, and his disciples are doing things like Jesus does. They are healing the sick, they're casting out demons, etc. So word's going out, and word reaches King Herod, and he's now remembering this whole scene. He's thinking about how he had John arrested because his wife wanted him to, and how in this moment, the daughter comes out and does this dance. And in that moment, as he's surrounded by all these people, he makes this vow and he ends up executing John the Baptist. But he's thinking, maybe this Jesus of Nazareth is John reincarnated. Did John do miracles that we don't know about? Possibly.
It was a very real authority. When you see people coming and absolutely turning from one way and going to another, I think that they are rightfully recognizing, as you said, an authority, a miraculous authority that John was walking in that caused people to repent. But the question is, who is Jesus?
Right.
Who is this?
Yeah.
And I think for us, Mark is walking us through this story and he's coming to a culmination. And that question is to each of us, who do you say this person is? What is the implication of this? For Herod, the implication is, I killed an innocent man, and if he came back from the dead, I'm in so much trouble right now.
Yeah.
So he is convicted. And I think that's where Mark is also leading us to, is when we are presented with Jesus, we are presented with making a choice about who he is, not just to the world, but to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you say that I am? And of course, this is the question he's going to pose to his disciples soon. Joshua, you want to say a blessing for us this morning?
Jesus, I just want to honor you right now that you are the Son of God. You are the Savior. You are the suffering servant. You are the Lamb. And we just want to show gratitude today as we're reading through Mark and hearing again the account that you came. We honor you, and we ask that in each moment of this day we would remember who you are. We bless you today, Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.